Gunnel's from Sweden, and she lived here, very near here, in fact, just around the corner from here, for many years as a school teacher in a primary school here. And remarkably, amazingly, miraculously, she became a Christian. We were doing a healing evangelistic outreach to the local estates, and it was many years ago, maybe 15 years ago, I think, at least. And Gunnel came along. And to that outreach, got amazingly healed, remarkably, and became a Christian. She's never looked back since. It's a great privilege that even though Gunnel lives in Sweden, she comes, visits family here often. It's lovely to have her back with us. Let's put our hands together and say welcome to Gunnel.
Raven. So we're going on a wonderful journey today. It's a Holy Spirit journey. And 40 minutes, it's a long journey today. Are you ready for it? It could be 4 hours, because we're going to let the Holy Spirit do whatever he likes. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless, empty. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. In the Hebrew, hovering, moving over the waters, is fluttering lovingly. Is the Holy Spirit fluttering lovingly over your life? Is the Holy Spirit silencing your anxious thoughts? Is the Holy Spirit steadying the storms of your life, hovering, fluttering lovingly over your life? Do you recognize this Holy Spirit, able to take you into the eye of the storm? This is Genesis 1 that I was reading there, and in verse 26, I discovered something that I hadn't seen before. And there God said, "Let us make man in our image." Why did he say us? He said that because it was God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit that created us together in his image. When you lie in bed tonight, think, "My God, you created me." But not only you, Jesus and the Holy Spirit as well, in your image. If we fast forward 4,000 years, we know that Jesus was born according to all the prophecies in the Old Testament. It happened. He was born. In the meantime, the Holy Spirit had been upon many of the prophets. He'd been there. But the biggest love story ever told was to come a little later. At the age of 30, Jesus had a normal childhood. And we also know that it took 30 years for God to prepare him for what was to come. That's why we shouldn't be surprised if it takes a bit more than 3 weeks for us to be prepared. And it says here that at the age of 30, Jesus was baptized by the great eccentric and prophet John the Baptist. Jesus wanted this. John the Baptist was a little bit confused that he was to baptize the King of Kings. He'd already had a revelation that who Jesus was. But no, it was to be. He baptized Jesus in the River Jordan. Of course, John the Baptist had baptized thousands of people. And he stood there and he cried out in his furry sort of coat, animal skin, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near." Many people came. And it says in Matthew 3 and 16, "As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning on him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him I'm well pleased.'" And this is what Jesus is saying to you today, he might say, my daughter, I'm very pleased with you. After the baptism, now Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he had 3 amazing years. And he had his 12 disciples walking with him around and about, miles and miles, up and down the country, sideways, healing, delivering, teaching, raising people from the dead. Just 3 amazing years. In that time, he was also hated and cursed and disliked, and he persecuted in so many ways. But he knew from the start that he had come to be crucified. He had come to give his life for all humanity. He had come to die in our place for our sins and to be for us to be set free. He knew this. Every time I speak, I come back to John 3:16, and I will just briefly say this wonderful verse that most of you know, but it's like the Bible in a few verses. For God so loved the world that he gave, let sacrifice, his only begotten Son, so that each and every one that believe in him shall not have to perish, go to the dark place, hell, basically, but have life, eternal life in heaven. And you know, just this morning I read about eternal life. We often see it as the day we go to, we die and go to him, but eternal life starts the minute you say yes to Jesus. Because it says in the Bible, what is eternal life? Eternal life is to seek my face and to know me, said God. As we know, Jesus had handpicked his 12 disciples. And before he was crucified, traveling quite quickly now, he revealed that he was leaving. He was leaving them. He was leaving this world as we know it. And this is the greatest love story ever told. When he said in John 14 and 16, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper, a comforter, a counselor, to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit. But the counselor, verse 26, John 14, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send you in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. Beautiful in verse 27, I leave with you my peace. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. This is for us today, not the peace that the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. So now the Holy Spirit is available. Salvation is available, and salvation means to be saved, to be born again. Ephesians 2 and 8 says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So what is this by works? We can't be good enough. We can't be sweet enough. We can't be generous enough in order to find righteousness through our own work, through our own daily habits, from our love and our kindness. We cannot become righteous because of ourselves. And that is such a relief. It's so wonderful. Most religions, you have to sort of beat yourself with a stick in order to be good enough day by day. So how do I get this faith? Something has to happen. In fact, the biggest miracle of all has to happen, that I become born again, that I say my big yes to Jesus and hand myself over and receive this great gift. And in Romans 10 and 17, this is so vital. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We can be so generous to people once we have Jesus in our lives. And we can be so kind, and so, but we need to transfer those words to other people. We need to tell people the simple gospel, because in the end they're just going to think, oh, they are so generous, they're almost foolish. But so we need to tell people about the cross. Say, if you were the only person in the world, Jesus would have died for you. He loves you with a never-ending love. Do you know that? And, you know, speak like that a bit. Well, I don't know. There are 100 ways to talk about the gospel. But we mustn't be too shy or think that we're going to tread on people's toes. Now the Holy Spirit needs to come in and convince the person that Jesus is alive, resurrected from the death on the cross, and that he would have died for us if we had been the only person on this planet. That he took my sin and that he set me free, and that usually there is a big meltdown. Usually there isn't a dry eye. Usually we get affected by it when the Holy Spirit has convinced us and we realize that God is real. I remember, I think darling Vicky has forgotten it, but there used to be some sort of, and there were tables and chairs, and Vicky sat on one side, this is 18 years ago, and I sat on the other, and I cried. The whole table was just like a lake, and I just couldn't believe that Jesus would have me, frankly. Couldn't believe it, that I could be forgiven. So it says actually that there is no Holy Spirit without repentance and a turning away from sin, a change of heart and mind. And now the Holy Spirit can take up position in me. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That is Romans 8 and 10. If you ask 10 people how they came to Jesus, you might get 10 different answers. Some people never knew a time when they didn't love Jesus, and that is gold star. It's fantastic. Absolutely the best. Recently, I went to a 3-day event in Stockholm called Awakening Europe, Disturbing the Normal. I think Bob said something there. Disturbing the Normal. 30,000 people in a big stadium. And hundreds of people, young people, teenagers, rushing up to receive Jesus. That was a lot of people, 30,000 in the most secular country in the world. It was wonderful. People came from all over the world. Worship music, bands came from all over the world. So generous, so amazing. There were 1,000 volunteers from Europe. And there's one guy who believes in this. Ben Fitzgerald, and he organized something in Nuremberg last year. Stockholm this year, see you in Prague next year, next July. Awakening Europe, amazing. Somebody had, I think it was Ben Fitzgerald, took a few people up to testify. How did they come to Jesus? And there was a little Asian girl there saying that she had been, only a couple of weeks earlier, been healed from rheumatoid arthritis. First time she knew anything about healing or Jesus, and she said those sweet words, Jesus saw me. One was set free from drug addiction, alcoholism and pornography. And I have to say, there were many, many testimonies about who testified about having that background of drugs, alcohol and pornography. And many of the young evangelists who go around the world at this time, relentlessly preaching and seeing people healed big time, come from this sort of background. One said that he saw a friend totally transformed, and thinking how what he had been like before, he knew that God was real. And there was one who said, for me it was totally unromantic. I was loading the spin dryer and just fell down on my knees and cried out, God, help me. Something had happened before, and I'm sure the Holy Spirit had come in and played around with his thoughts and his heart. He just fell down like in the Welsh revival on his knees and just said, God, help me. The best prayer in the world. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5:17. we're on our way. It's a bit like becoming an organic farmer. If you want to be an organic farmer and have a certificate that now your soil is free from pesticides, fertilizers, and all other rubbish, it takes 7 years. Well, getting rid of poison and dirt and bad habits that could stand in the way for me getting close and intimate to the Holy Spirit, it might take more than 7 years. I can guarantee you it has. Takes a lifetime, but a lot of things happen at once as well, pretty quickly. But the filing and the melting of the gold to get the shimmer up certainly takes a good long time. We are loved by God, and He wants to mature us, equip us to serve in wonderful ways. The Holy Spirit will convict us, point the changes we need to make, slowly and gently, never expecting everything to happen at once. I remember in 1998 when I became born again in this wonderful church, almost the first thing that happened was that the Holy Spirit said, get a big paper out and a pen. And He gave me a long list of people that I had to phone, contact, and ask forgiveness. And I was so embarrassed. I think I can't phone him. I can't phone him or her. What shall I do? I sat down and I thought, I'll do it tonight. I'm not going to bed with this. So I sat down and I started ringing on the landline, one after the other. And it was very, very peculiar to me that nobody was surprised. At least nobody was sort of, what do you do that for? Why do you say that? They received it. That's what I mean. They received it. I can't remember if somebody else said, can you forgive me? But that's not the point. It was just a great relief. And I had thought earlier that a bit of swearing is a bit funny. You know, it's quite humorous. Well, not any longer. The swearing stopped at once, and that's quite common that happens. The longer process for many people, I was going to say not least women, but I take that back, is the mouth. That small rudder, is it called a rudder, that can steer a big ship and say so many things that, oh dear, why did I say that? Why on earth? Where did that come from? 18 years saved, and I said that. Sat in the gym, and I thought I was being funny, and said something extremely borderline, and I just felt convicted afterwards. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. That's what it says in Ephesians 4 and 29. It's also important how we view ourselves, how we speak about ourselves. Really, really important. Do I speak victory into my life? Am I going to say forever, I need to lose 10 pounds? And I need to investigate what sort of a diet I can go on now, maybe tomorrow Monday. I start tomorrow Monday. Maybe the 2-5 one. I eat nothing 2 days and then I eat like a pig for five. Yeah, I think we have to stop it. I really think we should take each other's hands at the end of the session and say, I will no more go on about the 10 pound. I have started to say, I eat exactly the right amount at the right time. I love chewing and feeling the taste. A friend of mine had a tube stuck in here, nailed by mouth for the rest of her life. Medication, fluids and food through a tube, a peg tube in her tummy. And let's talk well about ourselves. You know, I said by mistake a few weeks ago, I said, I'm more supple this year than I was last year. I said it at the gym when we were talking tactics before the class. I'm more supple. And they looked at me and they said, yeah, you're as supple as the GP, aren't you? There's a GP there that does the splits in front of all the women before the class. So I said, yes, I am as supple as he is. And believe it or not, I feel a lot more supple for it. So, yeah, God spoke life into the world being, didn't he? He spoke life. So we speak life into our own lives, and we should start to speak really well about ourselves. Where are we now? So we want to have a close relationship with the Holy Spirit. Anything can happen, and he's totally trustworthy. We know that he's not going to put us through something that we are not equipped to handle. Sometimes that looks dreadful. What are they equipped to handle? You know, recently the visit. How can anybody be equipped to handle a certain situation that is that hard? But that's what the word says. We go through some sort of transformations with these incredible challenges. And that is to equip us further, to mature us through the challenges. He is our comforter, our counselor, and our therapist, and our personal trainer. We also have a chance with the fruit of the Spirit. It's our lovely goal to have this love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. There are not many things. Most people can't remember more than the three first ones. I used to think that patience was a really hard one. Self-control, maybe, is a bit hard sometimes. Not that I eat too much. But since I have come to the conclusion that love is a big issue. Recently, I saw an interview with Wendy Alec, who is the founder of God Channel, with Rory Alec. And after 25 years of marriage and running the God Channel, that now can be viewed, is viewed by 450 million people all over the world, Rory left her for another woman, unfaithful, left her, wanted a divorce, and cut all connections, I believe, with both her and the children. Unbelievable. We are in the last days. And she's been through a dark time when many times she would have preferred not to be alive. The Holy Spirit has carried her gently. You know, it's hard when it's smack in front of all these people. It's all open for everybody to follow and see. You can't sort of go and hide somewhere and get over it. In her interview, she said, somebody said, what have you learned from this experience? What have you gained anything? And she said, when it was talk about this amazing love, God's wonderful love that just permeates my whole life and my whole world, she used to sort of want to hide a bit because she thought, I don't feel that love. I don't have all that. I have a bit for most people, but I don't have it generally everywhere. And she said, in the last 3 years, I've learned to love. And I thought, what a testimony. You know, it would be quite nice not to have to go through such a trauma. But I was just thinking, how can I increase that love? You know, maybe a revelation of understanding the size of the love that God has for me. So once we've prepared our soil, our ground, cleansed out the old man, the old woman, purified our lives, our talk, our daily habits, and become organic farmers, and the Holy Spirit is enjoying living on the inside of us, well, we're in for an adventure. God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit in so many different ways, and it convicts us and encourages us. We might get prophecies revealed for the plan that God has for us. Very often, it can be just a short plan. Other times, it can be a long-distance plan that we hear from the Holy Spirit, and it just seems overwhelming. And we know that it's true. It's going to happen. We're going to see all these amazing things happen. But usually, there's a little bit of red carpet coming out, and he guides us bit by bit, foot by foot, maybe more. And to hear that and to be obedient to what he says is just so important. I often think of Abraham. He was asked to get all his animals, all his people together and leave immediately. He didn't know where he was going. And it says in the Bible that early next morning he left. I want to do that. I want to leave early next morning. I worry about, I suppose I still worry a bit, that I'm going to miss what the Holy Spirit says so that I don't do it. I'll have a little testimony now, okay, of something wonderful that God did. When I went to my village, small village in Sweden, God said that he would handpick people for me to love and to befriend and to spend time with and to, different. And he has. I've seen it very clearly. One of them is Anne-Louise. And I see Anne-Louise a lot. We love each other a great deal. I've witnessed a lot to her, and she has witnessed to me about her sort of going to see a fortune teller and all sorts. But it doesn't matter. I've witnessed. But that is, there's more to it than witnessing. Anne-Louise and I went to a wonderful coffee house about 10 miles away from the village last January. And half the way there, the Holy Spirit said, tell her to turn left here. So I said to her, now you need to turn left, Anne-Louise. All right, whatever you say. So we turned off the main road and came to the bottom of a hill where God spoke to me when I was 6 years old. Out of the sky, loud voice coming down like this. I thought the whole world should hear it. And he said, be my servant. And it should take, believe it or not, 45 years till I became his servant. But he said it there. And Anne-Louise was diagnosed with cancer. She was bleeding. She'd been bleeding for close to 3 months. Bleeding. And she was in line to have an operation and chemotherapy. And the Holy Spirit said, lay hands on her. The sky was black because it was snowing heavily. It wasn't snowing right then, but it was looked as if it was going to start again. Completely dark. It must have been about 11 o'clock in the morning, 10, 11. So we stopped the car and I said to her, I want to pray for you, Anne-Louise. Is that all right? I'm going to lay hands on you. I believe that God wants to do something for you this morning. And as I lay hands on her, the sky just opened up and the sun shone into the car so brightly. And we knew that that was so special. I lay my hands on her and I was led to include the gospel a little bit as I prayed. And I said, if you were the only person on this world, in this world left, Jesus would have died for you on the cross. And now he wants to do something. So in the name of Jesus, cancer, go. In the name of Jesus, go. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and do your wonderful, wonderful healing. And we were quite taken aback in the car. We drove off. We had our lovely coffee and talking for 2-3 hours. And I thought I'd leave it, not to be too quick to ask, just wait till she says something. I thought his hand came, the sun came out. Why would he do that? Why would he ask me to turn left or her to turn left and go to the mountain where he spoke to me? So that is in January a year ago. And she's had 3 clear bells, completely, 3 clear reports, no operation, no chemotherapy. The bleeding stopped at once, and she's totally and utterly healed. And it's... she's just close to 50. She's younger than I am. She's got 2 grown-up kids, just became a grandma. And I dare say, every time I see her now, I pray. She wants me to pray. And do you know, there's been a couple of quite big issues since. And it would appear that, you say, the Holy Spirit can do whatever he likes. Everything I pray for with her, he answers. Recently, her daughter ended up in a really, really hard situation. And we prayed, I prayed. And it was solved. So he's picked her to answer every prayer. That's what I believe now. And he can do what he wants, all what he wants. So we often sort of say, how can I get more of the Holy Spirit? Oh, where are you? Fill me. And actually, Jesus on the cross said, it is finished. We don't need to be begging. if I want a mountain bike for Christmas, I'm not going to get a beautiful one. I'm not going to say it in the new year, give me a bike. It's sort of, we don't need to, in other words, we don't need to beg. But I believe this with all my heart, from Isaiah 54 and 2. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. I just love that. That's what I want to do. I want to stretch out. I want to make myself bigger for him. I can't ask him to do another sacrifice for me. He's done the biggest sacrifices of all. Further, the Ephesians 4 and 31 and 32 says this: get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with envy and all forms of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. How can I do all this? How can I have all this? I can have it through the Helper who lives in me. I can have a clean conscience. We know today that all sorts have entered the churches. Disunity, New Age stuff, yoga, drinking just like everybody else, and above all, silence. Silence when it comes to same-sex marriages, transgender issues, abortion, simple things like living together before marriage, totally natural. Do you know in Norway today, a six-year-old can decide that he or she is in the wrong body? The parents support it, and in due course, the hormone treatments can start, and eventually operation, if it's desired. It has become a fad. It's become something people worship now, the rights for homosexuals to have children, you know, in any old way. Adopt children. Oh, but you know, love is love. We are silent in the face of political correctness. It's very hard. It's hard for all of us. But, you know, it's time to say, I believe in the Bible. I believe what God says. I'm on God's side because I believe what he says in his word. We love all people, but we don't need to start thinking just as the world does and just be silent. We are sort of nearing the Stockholm Syndrome. Have you heard about the Stockholm Syndrome? That's where four women were held hostage for, I don't know how long, but it was more than a week. And they started to side with the perpetrator. They started to develop a sort of sympathy and a loyalty to the person that had kidnapped them in this bank where they were working. And there were all sorts of stories around it, how they came to side with the enemy, side with him. And when he eventually was imprisoned, they went to visit him, the four women. They formed a close link. And we have to be so careful we don't form a link with the enemy, what the world is saying, and trying to sort of, instill in us that, well, it's not that bad. I long for revival. I long for a big crashing baptism in the Holy Spirit, but I recognize that I need to make some changes, all according to the leading of the Holy Spirit. This exciting, creative, colorful, gentle lover of our souls. He has a design, a plan for each and every one of us. He is our big adventure and our best friend. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are so close to us. Thank you that you gave us the Holy Spirit to live inside of us, Lord. Thank you for all you do in this church, in this community. Thank you for the good work and the unity that everybody can experience here. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have a plan to speak to us before we go home, to heal and to give a prophecy, a word of knowledge. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Have your way with us. Hallelujah. Amen. I was talking to Michelle earlier, and we were sort of joking about running with a rucksack in order to get strong and powerful to run the Paris Marathon in less than 4 hours. I feel that some here, could be one, could be more than one, feel that they have a backpack, a rucksack, that they do not want to carry any longer. It's a heavy burden. They've tried all ways to get rid of it, but it's there. It's preying on your mind, puts a shadow on the light from time to time, and you struggle to get that cloud out and to see the light. I'm sure there'll be more words of knowledge, and if you have one, please come up. I know there is one who has a word of knowledge. Hallelujah. We will pray.
Wants to touch a few people. I've had the word of resilience and determination and coming back, and I think that some of us are here that feel that I've been here before, I've invited you before, Holy Spirit, and I don't know if I should do it again, I don't know if I should, you know, go there again. And the Holy Spirit speaks clearly, like, come back again to the cross. Come back again and invite me into your heart. It's not just for those who haven't seen the Holy Spirit at all, but it's also for those who have been here before, who have been in front of the cross on their knees inviting the Holy Spirit. And then some things have happened, but the Holy Spirit says, and Jesus says, come back to the cross again. Come again, my child. Jesus, I just want to pray, Holy Spirit, right now, thank you for this amazing message, God. It really touched my heart so much, and I'm coming back again. I'm coming in front of the cross right now, and I say, Jesus, Holy Spirit, I need you. I need you. I need you more as my helper in my life, God, as my lead, as my guidance. God, this world has so much to offer, and it's so easy to go a different way. But Jesus, I want to go with you. And Holy Spirit, I need your voice. I need you. I need you. And if it's you who also wants to just make yourself one with my prayer, just stand up, just open your hands. And God, I need you. Jesus, I need you right now. We just want to say, Holy Spirit, take your place in my heart. Take your place in my life. Holy Spirit, we need you in guidance. We need you in wisdom. Sometimes we don't know what to do, but we just need you, Holy Spirit. I'm going to start singing this song now and just ask the Holy Spirit to come into your life and convict you or whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do.
Yes.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
I just feel God's light is coming in as we open up our hearts. As we lay down these heavy burdens that we feel. Just we lay them at the cross.
Hallelujah.
His light is coming, his transforming light. The light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it.
Praise you.
Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit is here, and he's pouring out his love right now. And Holy Spirit, I thank you that you come against any depression right now, God, against any self-pity, God, against any self-destruction, Jesus. I thank you so much. I thank you that you want to set free right now. You want to set free people from depression and from anger, from fear. Thank you that you are here, Holy Spirit. Come, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Everyone again, maybe slowly take your seats.
Make them move.
I know. Isn't it like a beautiful day today? I got up this morning and I was like, please let it not rain. Please let it not rain. And it didn't rain. Woo! It was just, I'm from Germany, so sometimes that's a surprise when I'm here in the UK. But no, the weather is beautiful, and it just made me so excited for the service tonight, this morning, not tonight. Before we start, I'd like to share something with you. When I was on my way here, I was just walking, and then this word passion came into my heart, and I was thinking a lot about it lately as well. And sometimes we forget what our heart beats for, and passion has so many different definitions, I think. But the easiest would be what your heart is that gets excited about. And I just want to like ask you this question straight from the beginning, like, what is your heart excited about? And why did you wake up this morning and came to New Life? And for me, the answer is very simple, because I want to worship God and I want to see Him. I want to meet Him this morning. And it reminded me of like everything, like this earth we stand on. Like sometimes you just look into like at the ocean or at the mountains or into the forest and you realize, wow, I'm part of this miracle of this amazing, amazing world where God just sits there and looks down, and that gets me very, very excited. So maybe this morning, just to directly get into the right atmosphere in the right direction, ask your heart, what is my heart passionate about? Am I maybe passionate about my job, my wife, my husband, my children? Or am I passionate about Jesus? Am I passionate about the Lord, the Creator, the Savior, the Provider, the Healer? You know, there are so many Al Shaddais and Al Shaddai. I wouldn't be able to mention them all, but, you know, so when we start, just think, have that in mind and just be passionate about Him, because He's so passionate about you. So we're going to start with a song everybody knows, and you can all get up. We'll start a cappella, because sometimes I feel like our voices together, reunited, is very powerful. So we'll start with Good Morning Jesus, and we'll welcome Jesus into this room this morning. We'll welcome Him, the Holy Spirit.
Good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Lord. I know You come from heaven above.
Fantastic. Lovely to say hi this morning. I wonder if we could have the picture, Aseli. Let's have the picture of the shoeboxes on the screen, please. Fantastic. Good news. We've thank you to everyone who has given to Shoebox. We were able to take 72 boxes this year. Massive, the biggest we've done. So well done. Thanks for all your hard work with those shoeboxes. I wonder if you just stand with me. We're going to pray this morning. I wonder if you just stand together. It's fantastic with the shoeboxes. Just thinking about places in the world where it's difficult this morning. It's Remembrance Sunday, and we're going to pray today. We're going to pray for a number of things, but there's many places where these boxes are going where it's difficult for people. It's difficult for Christians. It's difficult because of war or the aftermath of war. And we're going to pray today in this Remembrance Sunday, just remembering those who have given their lives, that we could meet today freely, that we've got the privilege of freely meeting today. Let's pray today, shall we, together. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for the privilege of living today, of meeting today in a country where we have the freedom to gather in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord, for those who have forgiven their lives, that we could have this freedom. And Lord, we are so grateful. We're so grateful. And Lord, we pray for those who've lost loved ones in war and tragedy all over the world, Lord. And we pray today for Your comfort. Ask in Jesus' name, would Your comfort, would Your goodness, would Your mercy, Lord, would You move in incredible situations, Lord. We cry to You, the God of miracles. Would You do wonderful things in the hearts and lives of those who have lost loved ones? And Lord, we pray today, we cry for those who are suffering, even today in war, those who are suffering that are innocent, those caught up in wars all over this planet, Lord. We're crying today for You, mighty God, merciful God, kind God. Lord, would You intervene in the name of Jesus? And Lord, we look forward to Your return. Jesus, we look forward to when You will banish and finally wrap all things up, and there will be no more wars. And so, Lord, our hearts are looking forward. And we say with John writing in Revelation, we say, come, Lord Jesus, come. Would you come and visit us again? Would you come in your power and majesty? Would you come for your church? Would you come for your people in the wonderful name of Jesus? Amen. 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 Would you grab a seat, please? And Ruth, where's Ruth? Ruth. Ruth, God's put something on Ruth's heart to share, to encourage us. So let's open our hearts. Ruth.
This is a little bit old, so it's changed a bit. Obviously, the weather's changed. We've had a lot of winds since this sort of came to me. But a few weeks ago, I was driving to work, and I couldn't help noticing the colours in the trees. So it was all looking really autumnal around where we live. And there were lots of brown and yellow and quite dead-looking leaves on the trees. But in some places, there were these really bright pockets of red. And often it was right at the top of the trees. And I felt that God was saying that this is kind of like our lives. So in our heart of hearts, we really we want to live 100% for him. And we really care about our non-Christian friends, and we really love him. But there's a lot of deadness, and there's a lot of sort of old life stuff. And that might be complaining or lack of faith in his goodness and his kindness. And I felt God saying that he wants to set the whole tree on fire. And how's that going to happen? So it seemed that as we bring the dead parts to him, it's his fire. And I think that was the thing, that just like with Moses and the burning bush, it's not, we can't, you know, it's not us. We're not going to set it on fire. It's going to be him. And so this isn't meant to discourage or dishearten anyone. I felt it was a great relief to be reminded that it's his fire. And that our part is to bring our lives to him and enjoy his presence so that he can touch our hearts and bring his life-changing fire.
New presence. Okay.
Lord, we thank you so much for the life that you've given us, the opportunity that we have to live for you, Lord. And I just thank you for reminding us that we can't do this in our own strength. And Lord, sometimes we're very aware of that. But Lord, you really have got the power to set our lives on fire and to enable us to make a difference where we work, where we live, Lord. You can do something amazing in our hearts and lives and change us. And we pray that you will set our hearts on fire, Lord, with love for you, that we'll be able to reach, reach others who are without you, Lord. We just pray that our lives will be on fire for you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Bob.
Good morning. Once a year, we take a few moments out during the notices just to talk a bit about the practicalities of church life, some of the kind of less exciting things, if you like, but still very necessary to all that goes on here, that it's things that it's easy to forget about. For those that don't know, for example, the church is overseen by a group of trustees who are responsible for the kind of nuts and bolts of church life, such as finance, employment, sort of in people we employ, child protection, and those sorts of things. And then there are three elders who are responsible for the spiritual oversight of the church. The trustees are Jan Wilson, who is the treasurer, Gavin Smith, Rob Morgan, Onyeka Ono, Nick West, Paul Hickman, and myself, Bob Suster, who's the chair, and Nick and Paul and myself also serve as elders. And Jan is now going to run through a quick summary of the accounts for us.
If you want a good night's sleep, just change your duvet from 4.5 to 13.5. Oh, I've made it anyway. Yes, we're honest in this church. Honest and very open. I've split the slides up, so we'll whiz through quite quickly, so I hope I won't bore you. And just to look at where our income came from, could I have the... I've got the girls on it now. No, I'm safe. Could I have the first slide, please? Oh, thank you. Yes, we had and money that comes in the bucket, money that comes in standing orders, came to... I'm looking from 1st of April 1915 to 31st of March this year. So we had 79,500 roughly coming in, and we had tax back from the previous year's giving of nearly 7,000. And then I've put that thing called GASDS, and if you're not involved with a charity, you might not realise. The government, the wonderful government, have helped us, help small businesses and small charities and things to collect coins, you know, when they're selling flags and things like that, just cash that's coming in. You can, when you get to, say, 5,000, that's a maximum, you can then claim for tax back, even though you don't know where the money has come from, whether people are taxpayers or not. So we easily get to 5,000 in the bucket by January, usually. And so that gives us £1,250 back for nothing. So that's what that is. I thought I'd mention it this year. So that was 91,500 for us. Could I have the next slide, please? Then we have money coming in for youth work. It can be, well, it's usually for sponsorship for Carity Wood. And also if people go on trips that they pay for, like Soul Survivor and things like that, then that all comes into it. So there's that came in. And the next slide, please. We collected for the Indian orphanage last year, as we have done for quite a few years now. And we got I claimed the tax back straight away. So it was just over £2,000. I might as well say it now. You may have heard around Christmas, August time, wasn't it, that Michelle and Sandra were going off to the orphanage. And they couldn't go because there was some problems there. I think it was with finances. They were running out a bit. So the orphanage is actually being relocated to somewhere else. So David Abbott has still got all the money, and he will be putting it to help with the relocation costs. So this year's carol service, we won't be collecting for the Indian orphanage, but for those of you who are here for Gerard's talk the other week, he was telling us this is also happening in India. They're trying to raise money to get mosquito nets for people. So our money will be going to buy mosquito nets. It's very practical help. Could I have the next slide, please? You got there quicker than me. I thought there were two sheets there. Last August, I think it was, when David Hickman came back from his year, he told, on the International Day, wasn't it? He told us, where is he? You're hiding. He told us about this organisation called Asia All In. I can't actually remember. I meant to ask you beforehand. It was to do with protecting children from trafficking and all sorts of things like that, wasn't it? And so we collected for that, and so £1,400 went to that. Very worthwhile. So if I have the next slide, please. Thank you. So it was just a 0.2,000 of bits and pieces, and there was some money came in for David Abbott personally and for Nathan Simwanza, who's in Zambia. And altogether, you can hardly read it, it was 102,400 came in altogether. And underneath, I've written what it was the previous year. And the previous year, it had been 119,000. So if we could move on to the expenditure. Only one more slide after this one. I've grouped our spending into what I've called expenses that do Sunday mornings. We have to pay for the building. We have to pay, we own and have the costs of running vans. So we not only have, a white van driver male, but we have a white van driver female as well. I don't know where she is. She's probably... Oh, sorry, Barbara. and we also pay rent for this place. So there are the figures up there for that. If I could have the next slide, please. We've then got what I call daily costs. We've got all the office equipment that we have and keep that up to, you know, keep the laptops keeping up with the times. And admin costs, postage, television, sorry, telephone, not television. Haven't been awake very long. And all sorts of other things that come under admin, paper and toner and for inks and things. Wages, we have Paul, I would say, 7 days a week, quite frankly, but I suppose technically you'd say five. Nick for, I think last year he was partly 2 days and partly 1 day a week, and Joe West, 2 days a week. And then we have the dreaded audit fees that we have to pay to our auditor every year, but he does a very good job and makes sure all our charity statements and things and everything are up to date, and that he checks that I haven't messed up the books. On the last slide, please, this is just the rest of it. Here we've got, under outreach, that's including all the youth work, because we're investing in the children, so it's outreach, isn't it? And I'm sure you're all thrilled with how our young people have developed over the years. Carity Wood, things like non-Halloween parties, the small groups they have outside, there are costs there. Then there's gifts to the speakers that come here, whether they be big ones from America or little ones that we know and love and come here regularly. And, that's supposed to be an alpha. Alpha and Alpha Esau. Also carol service. And whenever we have stuff, food and stuff in here, obviously there's loads of... beg your pardon, that would have been odds and ends, that's catering. So there's carol service set up and international day set up, things like that. I think I've done.
Thank you very much. Great, thank you so much, Jan, that was lovely. As Jan has said, the church employs three people. We've got Paul full-time, Joe West 2 days a week, and Nick 1 day a week at the moment. Jan said, he was partly 2 days a week for the year looking at the accounts. The church is God's idea, isn't it? And we're privileged as members of this incredible organisation, this worldwide thing that God is into, to be part of his great plan, and especially in this part of London at this time. And it's a wonderful combination of the divine and the human, relying on the work of the Holy Spirit in our life together, but also what each one of us brings to this work as consecrated sacrifices of time and money and gifts and talents and experience. And so finally, just a huge thank you to those who have served in this church over the past year in so many, many ways. Those who have helped in setting up all this stuff every Sunday and in putting it all away again. Those who've led worship, operated sound desks, made sure that we're all singing the same words up on the screen there. Those who've helped with caring for and teaching the children and the young people, both week by week and at the kind of special things that we do, like Carity Wood and the Light Party, the non-Halloween party, and Soul Survivor. The many who've contributed to church lunches, and those who've provided hospitality for friends and visitors to the church and who've hosted home fellowship groups. To those who have loved and cared for and encouraged those in times of need, both in the church and outside of the church. Those who've helped with night shelter, with food bank, with the Christmas boxes that we saw earlier, and with other practical expressions of God's love beyond the walls of this church. Those who've prayed faithfully for God's work in the church, both in our prayer meetings, in the smaller gatherings, and just individually in times with God. Those who've been out knocking on doors and handing out leaflets to reach our local community with the good news of Jesus. Those involved in Fleet Festival activities, and those who've used their artistic and creative gifts to decorate the church for special events such as the carol service and the international service. And I'm sure I've missed out a few things, a few ways in which people give and serve in the church. But it's these things, if you like, that happen in the background that actually make church happen, and are the expression of God's life amongst us and through us. And just finally, a big thank you to those who faithfully give financially to support the work of the church. Without that obedient financial support, none of this would be possible. And I guess finally, just if you count this as your church, if you feel this is the place that God's called you to, then I would encourage you to see, you know, if there's things God wants you to do, to contribute of your gifts, of your talents, of your experience, then let us know. And financially, again, if you'd like to commit to giving regularly to the church, if you're a taxpayer especially, then there are wonderful ways in which we can increase your giving through reclaiming tax. I have a word with Jan or myself, one of the other trustees. I was thinking on the way to work a few weeks ago, I was going through a pretty stressful time, and I was thinking, you know, I don't want the hours were sort of building up at work, and it was quite difficult, and I thought, you know, I don't want this to become the new normal. I don't want my sort of work life to become so big in my life. And as I was thinking about this new normal, I was thinking, you know, what I want is God's new normal. I believe that God has for us as a church a new normal, which is about his presence amongst us and his work amongst us and an increase of his spirit. So that's my final thought. So praise God for the year ahead and the year that's gone. Amen.
Thanks for being so patient. Just finally, Michelle has a prize. It's a box of creamy toffees, and it's a prize for next week for the person that can give her the verse for the... could we put the verse up there for us, please? It's the verse from John 1, 12 and 13. It's on the information sheets here. So if that person that can come to her next week and give her the verse, then she's got this lovely box of toffees for you. Fantastic. Brilliant. Okay, so the flame and a tribe are going to go out, and sunbeams, but a blaze are going to stay in, and ignite are going to stay in. So if the younger children can make a move, now's your time. And flame and tribe are together in the flame room.